Welcome back to the Don't Worry About It podcast, where we talk all things mental health related, from anxiety to depression, from happiness to sadness, and all emotions and feelings in between. My name is David Izzo, and I started this podcast to help facilitate conversations related to mental health topics. On this week's episode, Brooke Gold joined the podcast for a conversation on developing self-love and the importance of having a good relationship with yourself. Brooke works in marketing and focuses on her own personal brand on the side. If you're not already following her on Instagram, I highly recommend checking her out. She covers anything from fashion and styling, mental health awareness, positivity, human connection, and of course her Clubhouse addiction. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Thanks so much for listening. Brooke Gold, welcome to the Don't Worry About It podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to get into this conversation. But before we do, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself to the audience.
Sure, I'd love to. So I'm Brooke Gold. I live in New York. I studied business of fashion at FIT, and I'm currently working in marketing and also focusing on my personal brand on the side.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you know, you started your own personal brand. It's one of the reasons why I was so excited to get in contact with you after hearing you speak on a Clubhouse, and we'll get into Clubhouse as well. But building your own personal brand and being out there and working on so many different things, something that I really want to get into and understand how you're able to, you know, do it all and how that really affects you mentally.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And it's so interesting because I love having conversations about sort of like social media and how it's impacted people. And, you know, especially when you want to have an online presence, whether that's whatever kind of brand that is, if it's personal or something else, it can like take a big toll on you. So I love having conversations around mental health and how sort of like society now, along with the uprising of social media, has such a strong impact and detriment on our, you know, everything, especially our mental being.
Absolutely. I think social media and mental health is going to be the big conversation of the 2020s. I think we've started, It's really started, you know, the social dilemma on Netflix was a big hit and really broke down the social engineering that goes on behind these big tech social media sites and how much they use your data and understand you and to feed you and the red notifications and kind of how our brains light up when we see it. And I've noticed for myself and from people that I've spoken to, both the positive and the negative impact it's had on their ability to connect with people, and they're also the increase in FOMO and the increase in just generalized anxiety around social media and infecting their own life. But before we get into that, I think it'd be fair to just fun just to how we got in contact was through a Clubhouse room that Aaron Balk, a guest of this podcast, was doing a Clubhouse with you and one other person about anxiety in all its forms. And I got on there. I had no idea who you and the other panel guests were. And I just sat in, I listened for like 30 minutes and I was completely blown away by your ability to not only be part of the panel, but to speak and to moderate. And I know how hard moderating is by doing this podcast. So really a credit to you and an incredible job you did. So how did you get involved in that Clubhouse, and what else are you doing on Clubhouse?
Yeah. So basically, for context, Clubhouse is like a drop-in audio app where there's like in real time, there are rooms that are being hosted by absolutely anyone and everyone about anything and everything. So you can, if you have the app, which I think it's only for iPhone users now, but if you have the app or whatever, if you get invited to it and you have it, then you can join any room that's happening and you can just listen or you can talk. It's a really cool app. But I got introduced just like through a friend. It's a funny story, but I'm not even going to get into it. But I got introduced through a friend and he was like, oh, I was on Clubhouse all day. And I was like, what the hell is Clubhouse? And he explained it to me and I was like, okay, sounds like I can get with this. Like, sounds like it's sort of up my alley. I signed up, got invited through a friend. And when I joined after being on it for a couple of days, I fell in love with the app. And I realized very quickly how I can like utilize my passion and create, you know, rooms or whatever clubs with other people. So I honestly just after being in a couple of rooms for, I think it was like 24 hours straight, because that's what happens with Clubhouse. You sort of get addicted. After being on it for so long, I sort of found people who resonated with me, and I cold DM'd them and was just like, I want to start rooms about this and this topic. So can we like collaborate? Can we mod together? And moderating just means like you're hosting the room and you're running the room and making sure things run smoothly. And that's sort of how I got into it. I built connections and I just started hosting rooms. And then I started a couple of clubs with other people. And the rest is history, honestly. I'm still hosting rooms till this day and I love it.
It's so interesting that you went from just dropping in and seeing what the app was to then getting so active. Something clearly had spoken to you about it. That did it light a fire? Were you somebody who was always a go-getter and willing to be out there and to speak your word and to host? Or was that just something that happened?
That's actually a good point, because a lot of people come on Clubhouse and they just continue to go into rooms and listen. I have people come into my rooms and say, this is my first time speaking. I've been on the app for 2 months now, but I'm not one to really speak. I just like to listen. So it is interesting that you said that, because I do think there are two types of people. There's one person who goes on Clubhouse or whatever, gets looped into the app and they just listen. And then there's another person who listens and then is like, wow, I want to start rooms. So it's interesting that you sort of like categorized me by just having a conversation with me, but it is true. Yeah. So I guess the spark for me was just, I was going into rooms that were called like finding authentic people or perspective and mindset or how to be positive, things like that. And that is very much in my nature, things that I'm constantly working on, things that I'm passionate about, and also a lot of mental health conversations. Like there was one room that this was the first room that I saw and started going into. It was the gratitude room, and it was just random strangers coming into a room, and each person was saying something that they were grateful for that day. And I remember getting so emotional, like literal tears, because you are surrounded by people virtually, literally not even next to you, but you feel like you're in a room with them. And you're all speaking about things that you're grateful for, and it just lights this positive energy inside of you. And every day I was waking up and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to go on Clubhouse. I got to be around these people who are, you know, filling me with good stuff, whatever. So I guess that was sort of the spark for me. And that's when I was like, I want to contribute. I want to start hosting rooms where I'm giving other people the opportunity to feel the way I feel.
It's interesting. I know I'm not a Clubhouse expert by any means. I've been on a couple times. I know the rooms on ranging from every topic to from health and fitness to wellness, mental wellness to NFTs and crypto, really anything, finance, real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. The few that you searched out, I think, says a lot about you and somebody who's searching to learn more about, you know, starting and getting involved in gratitude, mental health. And I apologize. I forgot what the other two were. But those were, you know, all things searching out to better self-improvement. Were you somebody who in that moment was searching to learn more about it? Were you on your own personal journey, or what led you to getting into those types of environments and those rooms?
Yeah, I definitely am on that self-development journey. I have been for probably the last couple of years, I want to say, but very strongly for the last year and a half to 2 years. I've been on this journey of self-love and self-development and self-growth, and because I truly believe that in order for you to give to other people in the fullest way that you can, you need to give to yourself first. And that does not mean being selfish. It means taking care of not just your body, but your mind, and really developing a relationship with yourself so that you can sort of fulfill that giving towards the people in your life, your friends, your family, the stranger who, you know, whatever, is sitting next to you on the train, or the stranger who's opening the door, the stranger who's serving you. Whatever it is, in order for you to give in the most fulfilling way, you really need to like fulfill yourself first. And so when I had that moment of recognition, like, oh, I got work to do on myself first, I you know, started my self-development, self-growth journey. And I guess that's why those rooms really resonated with me. I have a lot of friends who are on Clubhouse and they are only in the comedy rooms. And these are some of my great friends who I've met from Clubhouse, but it's just, it's a difference of interest. You know, for me, I went onto Clubhouse and I felt very connected to the serious rooms, the emotional rooms, the positive rooms. And a couple of my friends are totally the opposite. They're like, Clubhouse is supposed to be fun. So Clubhouse is great in the way that it caters to every type of person. But for me, yeah, for sure, those rooms are up my alley. And I don't know, like, what about you? Because you said you were on it for a little bit. So what were the rooms that you, if you remember, what were some of the rooms that you connected to?
It's a good question. I think the one, I mean, I joined the one on anxiety in all forms just to hear what was going on and to hear Aaron and to hear yourself and the other moderators speak. The other ones that I joined, I mean, I joined one about NFTs and crypto. I joined the comedy one to listen to some comedians that I liked. I personally didn't love the environment of the audio. Of the audio only. I figured if I was going to do that, I'd rather just listen to a podcast where, you know, it's not necessarily live and it's edited out and I kind of can get a better understanding of what I'm going into. And also, I was never going to I know it's weird saying this as I'm speaking on a public platform technically, but I don't necessarily love to exchange ideas in such an open forum where I can't have some control of who I'm speaking to and knowing how to develop it. So it didn't really speak to me, and I haven't really been on the app more than 3 or 4 times. So for me, it just didn't last for me. Wasn't something that I really found myself connecting to. But I did, one of the biggest phenomenons I understood is what I've really taken away is that Clubhouse has created communities. And I think that's something that a lot of people have been missing for a while now. And I think that hole was exacerbated by COVID-19 and being shut down, forced inside at Clubhouse's career, giving people a opportunity to meet other people, to connect over in whatever subject matter that they're exchanging in what room. Especially the more intense ones like anxiety and hearing other people speak about their mental health troubles or speaking about gratitude, things that they're grateful for. You can create a bond, and that bond is very real, and it's done over an audio-only flat platform, which is an interesting phenomenon, but I think still very valuable.
Very valuable. And I can attest to the community aspect of it because I've built insane friendships from Clubhouse. And I would not, I told you this already, but I would not consider myself someone who ever met online friends really. You know, randomly I would connect with someone over Instagram, usually a girl, and we would just connect over maybe our content or the stuff we were posting or sharing, whatever, and then we would meet up. But that was very rare. Clubhouse is so different in that I literally feel, it's crazy, I connected with these people and then we started FaceTiming as groups. Like, we created back channel group chats to sort of talk while we're hosting rooms so that we can host rooms very smoothly. So then we all started FaceTiming and then we started hanging out in person. There are still some people who I've connected with on Clubhouse that I haven't even met yet that I know I will. And the community aspect is probably one of the best. So we just had a meetup on Sunday in Central Park. We had a huge Clubhouse meetup that someone organized. And some of us were even saying, we don't even feel like we need Clubhouse anymore because we met family. We literally met a community of people who not only do we relate to on a, you know, because the beauty of Clubhouse is that you don't need to like look good on camera and you don't have to feel presentable. You can just speak your truth and people will connect with you because of that. So there's a really big authenticity factor that people are very attracted to. So it's like when I've met people in real life, I've met them and it's crazy. We all feel the same way. I mean, I just want to speak to the friends that I'm referring to, which is the people who I host rooms with. I'm not going to speak for everyone on Clubhouse, but for my own personal experience, the people who I've met in person, we meet and we're like, okay, we feel like we know each other already. So the community aspect is probably the biggest thing. And as for its impact on COVID or how it sort of brought like a really positive thing during COVID, I completely agree with that. And multiple people have said, if only Clubhouse started a couple of months earlier, because, you know, people were more so in lockdown. I know that Toronto is now, and there might be other people who are still sort of keeping themselves at home. But for the most part, now that summer is approaching, I'm curious to see where Clubhouse goes. But yeah, I definitely think up until this point, it's been really incredible for having people connect with other people and build relationships when they felt like they were almost suffocating from being indoors. So yeah, you brought up a really great point.
Yeah, I think it's the overall challenge and the main central point of what's been going on with a lot of people that's leading them to there. It's the loneliness, it's the isolation that is causing people to want to branch out. And I think it's broken down people's walls. I think people are mentally exhausted, mentally drained, and are so starved for connection that through an audio only app, and I want to get away from Clubhouse fully. Yeah, I'd like to pivot off Clubhouse and just talk about it more on a personal basis. And I think it exists outside of the social media. It's the starvation for connection and wanting to find people that you can relate to and finding your own community. And I think, you know, COVID kind of exacerbated those problems and increased it and increased people's anxieties that have gone up. And I know you've been able to speak about it and anxiety in many forms, and you're meeting with these communities, but I'm curious on a personal level, how has it affected you and your on your journey?
Yeah, I mean, COVID, it was definitely a challenging time. I didn't really, so I basically was finishing at FIT and I didn't have a job. So I was just at home and I wasn't working. I was just focusing on school, wasn't seeing any friends. So I sort of had similar challenges to maybe people my age or people I'm friends with. But for the most part, I'm very grateful. I know people experienced a lot more challenges than I did. And I wouldn't want to compare person A to person B, but I definitely am very grateful for the fact that I, you know, live at home with my parents. So I didn't have to worry about that. And I'm healthy and my parents are healthy. So I'm grateful in that aspect. But I guess mentally, I mean, I for sure had many times where I was anxious and I was nervous. What's going to happen with the world? What's going to happen with me working? I'm at the end of school, and am I even going to get a job offer? That was a really scary thing. But I honestly, David, like to be completely honest, I just tried to stay positive the whole time. Positive, not even just for myself, but for the world in general. And I really tried to see the good. And although there were moments where it was very challenging for me and I was extremely anxious about my future, I just had to like pull myself out of it and remind myself that even though literally all over the world we're experiencing the same thing and we're in this scary time, there is going to be a light at the end, and there is going to be good. We're going to, you know, they're going to come up with a vaccine and something's going to happen. Like I was, so at a certain point, basically my dad and I stopped watching the news. We were like, we are not fueling our brain with this energy anymore because the news is just negative. And yes, like what's happening is real. We're not avoiding that. We're not putting that to rest. We, you know what I mean? We're not pretending it's not existing. We know that it's here, but we're choosing to be grateful for what we have and for the situation that we're in and just promote positive energy for us and the people around us. Like that was all we were able to do. And people might listen to this and say, okay, this girl, like what's wrong with her? She's being so, or whatever. She was positive during this time, but I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that it was a breeze for me. It wasn't. I had my challenges. There were many things that I kept to myself that I went through and that I experienced. But throughout that time, it was a choice. It was a choice for me. And I'm grateful that I had that choice. I recognize that I'm grateful for that. And I recognize that I'm sort of privileged to have had that choice. But because I did, and I was able to see the good and be as positive as I could be, it just brought more energy, brought more positive energy into my life. So yes, it was a challenging time. And I had, you know, my difficult moments. And there were weeks at a time where, especially like mentally, I was drained and I was tired. And I was like, am I going to find a job? Am I going to have an income? What's going to happen? You know, but I don't know. I guess I chose to see the good. And that's like the biggest message, I guess, for me, that I always try and live by. It's like every day that you wake up, besides for the fact that that's a blessing, you can choose how your day is about to unfold. So every day that I wake up, I'm not very good about it, but I try to say to myself, today I am going to choose to have a good day, because it is a choice. So, you know, for me, I guess there were majority of the days where I was consciously choosing to have a good day.
I think that's one way of looking at it. I don't personally buy that you choose to have a good day. I think there are things that do happen to you. I think you can choose what attitude. I think you can try and control your attitude and come in with a positive mindset and put out, you know, if good things are going to happen to you, if you're doing good things and you're looking for them, and going in with a negative mindset, I think is a real detriment to a lot of people. But I think it's a very common one that I know. I personally am a natural pessimist by nature, and I've worked really hard, semi-successfully, mostly unsuccessfully, at changing my own mindset. But I think what you're getting at is that gratitude in the morning and choosing to say, I woke up this morning and I'm going to try and see things in the most positive light that I can. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I actually think it's a healthy mindset. I'm just curious, you know, you spoke about the tougher times and the harder times. How did you get through it? Were there any tips, tricks, stress relievers? Is there anything that worked for you that you learned that didn't work for you?
Definitely. I mean, for one, I just saw a quote the other day and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so me. It said, you got through 100 of your worst days or something like that. And I feel like that's always internally been my mentality, where it's like, if I am in a bad place, or I'm having a really difficult day, or I'm in a tough situation that's making me feel very anxious or very nervous, I remind myself that there was a time that I felt exactly like this and I got through it. So I guess that would be like a positive internal dialogue. So sort of talking yourself through it. Sometimes you have to, and it sounds so cheesy, but sometimes you have to look in the mirror and you got to be like your number one cheerleader and your number one supporter. So I obviously have people who I turn to speak to about different things, like my parents and my sisters and my friends, but there are a lot of situations where maybe you don't feel comfortable talking to other people about stuff. So you have to like have, or at least I know this is what's worked for me, where I've had that like internal dialogue and I've sort of walked myself through it. But other things for me, I guess, are just taking a deep breath, slowing myself down. Sometimes I have to like do a little self-care, which would mean just, I don't know, whatever makes you feel good. So for me, it's like doing skincare or doing a mask or reading a book or watching comedy, something that makes me laugh. Sometimes I take CBD, which is also helpful. I work out, which always makes me feel good. So I think there are days though where I would wake up anxious and I would spend the whole day being anxious. Like even if I recognized that I was being anxious, I was actively like choosing to just feel that. And I think that sometimes that's okay too, you know, to feel that anxiety and to feel that fear or that nervousness, because like it's real, like it that feeling exists and it's existing for a reason. So sometimes I would just have days where maybe I would even wake up and try to be positive or try and take care of myself, but I wouldn't be able to because of a situation that was happening. Or, you know, like I recall a point during COVID where I I basically like applied for a job and I didn't get it. And I remember that feeling where I almost felt like I was losing hope. I was like, can I just stay at home for the rest of my life? Can I just not have to find a job, not have to have an income? Let me just stay at home. You know, I almost had that. I was laughing at myself. Like, this is a real challenge that I'm going through. Like, I can't find something and it's difficult. And I, you know, was giggling, but also I was feeling really anxious. But I remember, like, after a few days of just feeling a little ill and not really feeling good about myself or the work I've been putting in, I remember that, and this is also one of my favorite quotes, it's that everything happens for a reason. And there is a bigger picture and you can't see everything. And maybe this didn't work out because something else is going to work out. And once I had that shift of mindset, I was able to sort of continue to be positive and get myself out of that like anxious rut. And I did. I mean, I stayed positive and I did end up finding something. So, you know, it worked out. But I guess for me, the biggest thing would be having that like internal positive dialogue, having that conversation with myself. But I know everyone has their own tactics and their own tips and tricks. So this is just what, you know, what works for me.
I think you just did an unbelievable job of going through almost every single aspect of what goes into it. And I know I related a lot, you know, CBD and going through the care of going exercise and doing all those things, especially when you, you know, you have issues or with anxiety or just some days you just wake up and, you know, all that preemptive stuff is I think really can help so many different people, and figuring out and balancing what works for you is the most important thing about figuring out what routine kind of works for you. But even if you find the most optimized routine and that's eating right and it's working out and it's taking supplements and feeding your body and doing all the good stuff, I don't think there's ever a way to live an anxiety-free life. I think everyone has their different levels. You will have those days where there's some days where I don't know why I'll just wake up and I'll be in that rut. And I know I've spoken to other people and they're like, no matter what I do, and they'll go do that routine, they'll work out, they'll do everything that they're supposed to do, and they'll still feel that baseline of anxiety level. And I think when that happens, I think what's been working a little bit for me, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, and I know you spoke about it, so I want to hear more, but I think sometimes you just have to lean into it and do the investigative journalism work that you need to do with yourself and asking yourself, what's making you so anxious? What's really going on inside of you? I think anxiety, a lot of it is the fear of the unknown. It's not knowing what's going to happen in a situation and not knowing about your future. I know with COVID, everyone's been working jobs, and myself included, it's been such a rough journey of figuring out what I wanted to do with my next steps and building the podcast out. And I'm lucky, I guess by the time this episode comes out, I'll have accepted an offer to start a new job as well. But I had those days too, where you feel hopeless and you're like, what more can I do? And can I just stay like this forever and not have to deal with it? And I think those are such common things that are going out with people in our age group and people that are graduating college. And I think the most important lesson I know I took away from you is listening to all the things that you do and how preactive and proactive you have to be on such a self-care level, and hearing the work that goes into it, where people can listen to it and go, it sounds simple or sounds easy. And you just listed so many different things that you do. And that's such a testament to who you are, in my opinion, and how much you care and how much effort you put into feeling and doing the best you can to feel the best. I think that's really important.
Well, firstly, congratulations on the job. So exciting. But also, it is so much work. It is so much work to be the best version of yourself. That is, like, I don't take that lightly, because it is a lot of work. But what I've realized is, the work, and I was telling you this, but the work is not just for me. It's for all the people around me. I can only be, and this is, it's so crazy, because the more I work on myself and the more I put things into practice, the more I recognize things and I see things for what they are, and they just make sense. So what I have recognized throughout my journey, which is nowhere near done and probably will never end, I'll probably constantly be on a self-growth journey, but what I've noticed is that in order for me to give to other people, I need to give to myself. I need to just understand who I am and my needs. And I don't mean that in just like drinking water. Well, actually drinking water, it's not a joke. When you drink enough water, you do feel incredible, but it's all these other things that go into it. Fueling, you know, there's this thing where a diet is not just about the food that you put into your body. It's what you fuel your mind and your brain with. It's everything that you're choosing to read, what you're choosing to see, who you're choosing to speak to, what conversations you're choosing to have, how you speak to yourself. These are all a part of a diet because these are all the factors that go into making you feel good. And when you feel good, you can be good for other people. So for me, the biggest, you know, the biggest lesson that I've taken from my journey up until this point is that I have to take care of myself first. And so when I'm anxious or when I'm feeling, you know, hopeless or down, I need to be there for myself. And it's not because I don't have people in my life to turn to, or, you know, there are hotlines that people can reach out to if they're in a bad state or they need someone to talk to and they don't want to turn to their friends or family. But I have just recognized that I need to be there for myself first. And I didn't always have that. I wasn't always an independent person, but over the years I've realized how important it is for me to be my best friend, my number one cheerleader. And it's not a joke. This goes across the board to, I think, anyone. I think the second that people start realizing that they have to first be there for themselves, they'll not only be showing up for themselves every day, but they'll be showing up for everyone else around them. And I truly believe that when we can be good to ourselves, we can start loving on each other, being kind to one another. And this is when like compassion starts playing a huge role. And so to me, the self-growth journey is so much more than what people just use as like, oh, I'm taking care of myself, or oh, I'm doing a face mask, or I'm taking a hot bubble bath. It's so much more complex, and there's so much work that has to go into it. It's incredible. I mean, it's incredible, and it's so worth starting that journey. So I guess that's a little tidbit about my journey and what I've taken from it.
What led to this road of self-discovery for you? Was there a point in your life, something that happened, or were you always like this, or was there ever a point where you were more pessimistic, or was it always now, or was it always the journey of optimism to journey to optimism?
I was always optimistic, but I think over the years I was trying to find my place in optimism because I was optimistic, but it didn't feel like genuine optimism. Like it didn't feel like I was happy internally. And I also just wasn't independent. Like in the sense that my parents sort of baby me a little bit, and I love them to pieces. They're two of my favorite people on this earth, but I find that I sort of struggled to be independent in the way that maybe some of my friends were, like right after high school, because my parents were just so much so taking care of me. So I guess when I had this feeling of I really want to be positive and optimistic for the people around me, but I don't feel it internally, that's when I noticed, like, okay, so wait, there's a thing called self-growth and self-development. Like, I could work on myself. I didn't even realize that that was a thing. And to be honest, David, I think that there are probably a lot of people who don't even realize that it's a thing, you know, to actually take care of yourself and get to know who you are as a person and what kind of example you want to be for others and how you can live up to that. I think that there are a lot of people who probably don't feel that way. They don't feel like there is self-growth or there is a thing called working on yourself and, you know, becoming your own best friend. I think it's just becoming really popular right now, but some of the most successful entrepreneurs and CEOs are, I don't want to say loners, but maybe they're just introverts. They're people who are a little bit more to themselves, but I think, you know, in a way that's such a beautiful thing because they're working on themselves, and they're maybe not all of them, but from what I grasp, it's like, they have this relationship with themselves first. And so I feel like, I guess I had this internal recognition where I was like, I really want to live up to this true optimistic Brooke, but I first need to be positive inside, and I need to be confident in who I am and in what I have to offer and just every aspect of me. And so that's when the whole journey sort of was triggered. But I've had my, you know, ups and downs and ins and outs, and I probably started this journey and then, you know, stopped, and I probably fluctuated back and forth. But for the last year and a half, it's been going steady because I see the value not only for myself, but for the people around me. So I guess that's what sort of triggered that, you know, self-growth journey.
I think, if I understand you correctly, by taking care of yourself, you're being also more helpful to others because you're the best, you're working on being the best version of you. That way you can impact others. Is that the thesis there?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's what I feel. I feel like the more time that I spend with myself, getting to know who I am and what I love and what I'm passionate about, and also like being confident in myself, you know, not second guessing who I am or why I did that thing. Like, I used to do this thing where I would overthink like crazy, and I still do, but I would overthink to a fault way too much about every little thing. And it was just, it was too much for me. It was hurting my brain thinking about all these things that other people probably didn't even remember. You know, that thing that I said in that conversation or me tripping in front of people. Like, I was noticing these things that no one else was probably noticing. And even if they did, they were probably laughing it off, you know? And I was just like, I can't do this to myself. I have to start loving myself for my quirks and my weirdness and my goofiness and my loud voice and my laughter. Like, I just have to start loving myself, because when I do, I feel like I'm glowing. And I feel like when I feel confident in myself, I can start being a real presence for the people who I care about. And so when I started feeling that way, and I, you know, day after day, I started feeling so good about myself, and not just myself in my own relationship, but myself in my relationships with other people, that's when I recognized, like, oh, okay, wait. So if I am really happy with who I am, I can be a really good friend and a really good sister and a really good daughter to other, you know, to the people in my life. So yeah, there is like this connection, but it took a while until I realized that.
So if you're, by being the best, and also I think if you're just being, I guess, a more optimized, better version of yourself, the relationship you're going to have with other people are going to be better, and you're going to, your experiences should, will have a better outlook, and I guess lead to an overall better quality of life.
That's what I think. I mean, you tell me, when you're in a situation and you're sitting there and you're overthinking and overanalyzing everything that you're doing, how do you walk out of that?
Not happy.
Not happy. You feel like crap. You don't feel good about yourself, right? Like,
it's, but it feels right and natural to me, because that's, I mean, those, that's who I am, that's what I do now, and I've been working on trying to not to do it, but it feels like the right thing to do and the smart thing to do. By over, I feel like if I overanalyze and I really think things through, I should be able to come to the right conclusions and make the right judgment calls, but I'm not, so I shouldn't. It's a very weird brain. You know, it's a weird thing that goes on in my brain.
But also, I think that there's a difference between critically thinking and overthinking, or like thinking to the, you know, amount that you need to, and overthinking. Because I overthink. There are things that I overthink about for way too long. And I just, what I find is I just need to trust myself. But here's the thing, right? You can't, what I feel is that you can't trust yourself unless you have genuine self-love for yourself, because you're not going to trust someone who you just met on the street. You're not going to give them your wallet and walk away. But someone who you've invested time into, you would give them your wallet and walk away. You would give them the keys to your car. You would give them the keys to your heart. That's actually funny. But you would trust them because you've invested time to that relationship to get to know that person, that you you feel like that you, that growth and that connection and the time and the energy that you've put into it sort of earned that trust. And so it's the same thing with yourself. Like, you're not going to trust your gut if you don't put in work. And so, but I want to trust my gut, and I want to have faith in myself, and I want to know that I'm doing the right thing. But I personally don't feel like you're going to know you're doing the right thing if you don't get to know who you are, and you don't get to know what you really need and what is important to you and what your values are and where your challenges are, where you need to put in work, where there are opportunities and growth. You know what I mean? So
how do you identify them? How do you figure that out?
How do you figure what out?
How do you figure out everything you just listed there? How do you figure out what you want, what you don't want, your needs, not what you don't need? How do you do it?
By making yourself feel so uncomfortable and literally talking to yourself as if you're someone else. Like getting into a mirror, and this has literally worked for me, but it's having conversations with yourself, and not to a fake degree. I'm being so serious. Like sitting down and talking to yourself about what you like and what you don't like. What bothers you about yourself? Why does it bother you? What do you do that you feel like other people are judging you for? And why do you feel like they're judging you? And can you get yourself to not feel like you care that they're judging you? Because A, they're probably not judging you, and B, you, what you're doing is probably making other people laugh or other people smile. I think it's just like being really brutally honest with yourself, and also recognizing that like you're going to be there for yourself for the rest of your life. It's you. It's so, you know, when I look in the mirror, I say, it's me. Like, hey, hi, this is me. Like, I'm looking at myself right now. This is me and you for the rest of time. Sure, people are going to come into our lives. Maybe we'll be in relationships. Maybe we'll get married. Maybe we'll have kids. Sure. But at the end of the day, it's me. I am stuck with myself in this body forever. So what am I going to do to make sure that I love who I am, that I love what I do, that I can, you know, so many people struggle to go out for a drink on their own or for dinner on their own. But why? Like, don't you love going out with your friends or with your family for dinner, for drinks? It's one of my favorite things to do. So why, you know, I think it's a good way to sort of start that. Like, why don't I want to, you know, get dinner on my own? Why don't I want to get a drink on my own? Like, this is me. I am my own best friend. Don't I want to go out for a drink with my best friend? So I want to do the same for myself. I want to spend time with myself, you know, like, let your, like, sit down at a bar, get a glass of wine, and just let your mind wander, or maybe bring a book and let it start triggering thoughts. Maybe, I mean, I've never sat at a bar and wrote, but I've literally sat at a bar by myself, just observing, looking around, you know, thinking about my day or just random thoughts. And I, by the way, I can literally pinpoint a specific moment where I've done this and I found myself smiling. Like, I don't know why, but I would start smiling and I would feel like really happy. And I think the more time you spend with yourself, the more you get to know who you are, the easier it is to get through those challenges, you know, of why do I feel this way? Or why am I constantly doing this one thing that I don't like that I constantly do? So I think it's something that gets easier over time, the more you put it into practice, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it to try and not only build a relationship with yourself, but see the world in a positive way. It's so worth it. It makes you feel incredible. It makes you have an excitement for life. At least for me, it makes me excited for life in a way that I've never felt before. So I hope that answered.
No, I think you answered a question I've been thinking about for a while now. I think it comes down to, people feel like imposters in their own skins. They don't feel themselves and they don't know who they are. So it's harder to do that. But when you do, I guess, put in the work and figure out who you kind of are inside of you and who you are, right? There's, I think, the cognitive dissonance of your own self-image versus the image you think others have of you. And mm-hmm. I think when those two battle in your own head, it's really hard to critically think. It's very easy to overthink, but it's very hard to critically think. And I think the processes are very similar. I think that there's just a missing part of it that allows people to do it, right? I don't think it's necessarily, I think both have, like, you both, there's time that goes into it, but I don't know. I think there's just something that's missing there. And I know I'm always trying to bridge the gap for myself, but I do think that there is something there. And I think you answered a lot of it, and it's to not feel like an imposter in your own skin.
Yeah. And we were talking about the imposter syndrome because I think that conversation is so interesting because it really does exist, especially when you're starting something new in your life. Like, I was just thinking about this. So we were talking about in the context of a job, but also if you are new at starting, you know, at a gym, or if you just started going to this coffee shop that you found, right? And you're like, wait, where's, like, I know I've had this conversation with friends before where they were like, I would do research about the restaurant and how they, you know, how they seat you, if they ask you to wait outside, or if you can just go in and sit down, or if you need to Purell your hands before, or, you know, all these things, because they were so nervous about going and sort of having this, like, you know, this feeling of, what am I doing here? Or, you know, I don't belong here. I'm doing everything wrong. This is a real feeling that so many people experience, especially myself. And, you know, I just started a new job, and even though I interned for this company, I've been experiencing imposter syndrome like I never have before. Even though I'm confident in who I am, I know what I'm doing is right. There's this fear of, like, am I worthy of this? Am I worthy of this position? Like, why are they giving me so much responsibility? You know, I just joined. So it's a real thing. And it's honestly, it just comes down to, like, being honest with yourself and realizing, like, for me, the one thing that has been working is I say they wouldn't have reached out to me or hired me if I wasn't qualified for the job, or if they didn't like me, or if they didn't trust me. It's a conversation. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to have that conversation 20 times over, and sometimes even more, until we can really feel it, you know? Like, sometimes the words will just be coming out of our mouth, but we won't actually feel it. It won't penetrate through our brain and get into our mind, but you just gotta, it's a repetition. Like, you just gotta do it, which, by the way, is why I say that self-love is a practice, because you're not going to overnight have love for yourself. It's not going to happen. It's the same thing in a relationship. You're not going to overnight love this person. You have to put in work, and it needs to be consistent. And honestly, consistency is key. I have three older sisters who are all married. And one of them, I had this conversation with her, and she said to me, you know, a relationship is continuous work. I know that every day for the rest of my life, I am going to have to put into work. I'm going to have to put work into this relationship because it's important to me and I'm committed. And because I love this person, I'm going to put in the work. So I guess the real lesson here, or something that I've taken, is that the same way I would put work into any other relationship in my life, I need to put, you know, time and effort and work into my own personal relationship.
Thank you so much to Brooke Gold for coming on to the podcast. I highly recommend everyone check her out on Instagram at @itsbrookegold, and definitely follow her and join some of her rooms on Clubhouse at Brooke Gold. I'll put links in the show notes below. If anybody out there is interested in coming on to the podcast, please reach out. You can get me on my email, don'tworryaboutapodcast@gmail.com, or on my Instagram page, don'tworryaboutapodcast. Everybody out there could please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It would go a long way. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. I'll see you next week.